The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
We want to talk about the catastrophic famine and situation in relation to Gaza. First of all, what is the latest on the conditions there?
Well, they're catastrophic. The Secretary General of the United Nations yesterday said they were just purely horrific. Yesterday saw the publication of a very important report from an independent agency called the Independent Integrated Food Classification Phase, which is the short.
Was this a UN body?
It's a body. It's an independent body which the UN recognises, European Union, all major countries recognise it. Because famine is such an emotive expression and phase, not least, of course, here in Ireland, Ivan, because of our history in that area. But because it is so emotive around the world and the implications that it has, it can't just be thrown around loosely. And there has to be an independent agency recognised as such, which relies on data and metrics to provide
an actual definition. Say?
So the definition of famine under the IPC guidelines is that at least 20% of the overall population must be suffering from extreme food shortage. In addition to that, 30% of the children must be suffering from acute malnutrition, a severe lack of food. And then, in addition, and sadly, that the death rate has either doubled or that 4 children in every 10,000 children die every single day.
So this is
from
death rate, not from war, just from starvation.
Just from starvation and associated complications such as dehydration, disease, all of which are in the mix in Gaza at the moment.
So what are the likes of UNICEF? We've heard, you know, Joe Biden speak about developing a port. Is it at Rafah? We've heard about airdrops.
Yeah.
What's actually happening in terms of the NGO and government aid?
Yeah, well, we've seen the airdrops and we've heard a lot of talk, of course, about building pontoons and piers and so forth.
Is that happening?
It's planned. The pier has been planned by the United States, and the European Union had one ship deliver aid over the weekend. But being very candid, Ivan, that is literally scratching the surface. Let's remember before, and I was in Gaza just before this crisis happened, about 500 trucks a day were getting in. You could see them everywhere you went, trucks delivering humanitarian aid.
Through Egypt, was it?
Through the Rafah crossing, through the Kerem Shalom crossing, through the Ezra crossing where I went in on the north, through a number of crossings. But unfortunately, they've been restricted now. And on average now over the last month, about 50 trucks are getting in a day. We got 36 trucks in the last 2 weeks of February, but we could be getting 10 times that in. And the problem is, frankly, is that the amount of aid getting in simply is not enough. And the crying shame is that children are dying of malnutrition, dehydration, disease, and literally miles away on the Egyptian side of the border, there are hundreds and hundreds of trucks stocked with food. It is a cry. It's unconscionable what's happening at the moment.
Yes. So what are you calling for?
Well, UNICEF, all the other UN agencies which deal with different things, you know, the WHO deals with health, World Food Programme, UNICEF dealing specifically with malnutrition for children, UNRWA, of course, which is overall responsibility for Palestinian refugees. All of the agencies are calling for literally all the crossings to be open and for aid to flood in. That is the only thing that is going to stop, I regret to say, thousands of children from dying, Ivan, because it is the rate at which famine has arrived in Gaza is what is really concerning. Now, famine usually sort of creeps up on a nation or an area. This has happened like falling off a cliff. And in famine conditions, which we're experiencing now, the rate at which children die accelerates very, very quickly. So you could be talking about large numbers of children not being killed by the bombs, not being killed by the bullets, but literally starving to death. And that is a stain on the consciousness of the world, and we must do something about it.
So what do you say, Peter, to the Israeli narrative? The Israeli narrative on aid is that Hamas seizes the aid and doesn't give it necessarily to the ordinary people. They're pending an attack on Rafah, having herded, what is it, 1 million people from the north into the south, stemming from the event in October whereby people were killed and taken hostage. I mean, are you able to look at this in a kind of monofocus where you cloud out all the conflict stories, or where does UNICEF stand in relation to the ultimate attritional conflict?
We stand with all the other UN agencies where we're saying simply aid is being restricted. Not enough aid is being let in. It's there in massive quantities. It's there, ready, willing and available to get in, but it's being restricted. And that's not just UNICEF. Everybody, all the agencies on the ground are saying that. Your second question in relation to Rafah, an assault on Rafah would be absolutely catastrophic, because approximately the population of Dublin, just less than the population of Dublin, are crammed into an area which formerly housed 100,000 people. They're living under tarpaulins, tents, living on blankets, some of which UNICEF brought in. If that area is attacked now, not alone will there be thousands of innocent women and children killed, but it will make a catastrophic humanitarian situation even worse. So it really is terrible.
But just for devil's advocate's sake here, putting the Israeli side of it, like they say they did their third attack on the Al-Shifa hospital and they killed this third man in command, Marwan Issa. They say that you know, there was a firefight in the hospital, that, you know, they're intent on destroying Hamas. And I do have a double take on this, because you're going to create a new generation of kids and so on that will be avowed against Israel. So, you know, I don't know if there's a military solution to all of this. So I put it like this: those that are in the West that are pro-Israel, what do you say to them? Are you saying to them that this is genocide? Are you saying to them this is unfair and appealing to their human instincts? Or do you not get involved in the politics of it at all?
Well, obviously, UNICEF is a humanitarian organisation. We operate under a UN mandate, so we're therefore apolitical. We leave the politics to people like the Secretary General of the United Nations and all the international players. And there are, of course, ceasefire talks going on at the moment, as we know, in Cairo, in Qatar, a lot of work going on in that area. But I would draw, Ivan, from what you said there, I would draw a very clear distinction between an attack on a hospital and the restriction of aid getting in. Israel called it a military operation on the Al-Shifa hospital the other day. But we would remind all parties, including Hamas, who, let's be very clear about this, on the 7th of October slaughtered 1,400 completely innocent people. But we would draw a distinction between attacking a hospital, which is not allowed under international humanitarian law, and restricting aid that can keep people alive. So we've got to be very clear in our thinking about this. This is man-made. This can be solved relatively easy. There are six crossings all into Gaza, which is landlocked and sea-locked, as you know. Those crossings need to be opened. And aid, I mean, in these trucks, there's no bombs, there's no bullets, there's no guns or anything. There's things like water, sanitation, nappies for children, vaccines. We got in 600,000 vaccines over Christmas. We need to get in an awful lot more. They can't be loaded into guns to shoot people. They can't be used to wage war. They can be used to save lives. And that's what we're calling for.
Okay, and you can divorce the politics completely. I get it. It's actually almost a logistical point you're making, which is to actually get food to the starving. Can Israel not, you know, divorce the two issues, the conflict, the politics, from the humanitarian aid?
But you're absolutely correct, Ivan. This is a logistical issue. The aid is there, as I said, in hundreds of trucks on the Egyptian side of the border at Al-Shaish. That needs to be brought in. And then you're talking about a complex logistical operation. And that's what aid agencies do. We don't have time for the politics of this. We have to, once the aid gets in, it has to be then distributed to local NGOs, local civil society organisations on the ground. And a lot of the roads have been bombed, so it's hard to get trucks through there. You've got to get them to the various camps and shelters where people are needed. So delivering aid to over 1 million people, it's not a question of just bringing trucks across the border, leaving them there and having a free-for-all. It's quite a complex logistical and security operation. That's what we're very focused on at the moment.
Peter, you're a seasoned political in this area, a former minister in the Ivy House, in the Department of Foreign Affairs. What, in your personal opinion, just leaving aside UNICEF, is the end game here?
I think the end game is, catastrophe for all those affected. I cannot see, unfortunately, I can't see beyond a real humanitarian crisis in the area at the moment. Clearly,
but in 10 years' time, do you think there'll be a two-state solution, or what do you think there'll be?
Well, clearly what's needed in the very short term is absolutely required as an absolute moral and political imperative is a ceasefire. That is the only way you're going to save a lot of lives here. And I mean, this people have to look at their consciences here. A lot of people's lives are at stake. A lot of people have already lost their lives. A lot of people will lose their lives. So people have to look deep inside their consciousness about letting aid in at the scale that is required. In the longer term, Ivan, I again say, these problems, as we know on our island here, these problems can only be solved by people sitting down, by coming to accommodations, by being flexible and through dialogue. That is the only way out of this in due
Finally,
course.
But
that's for the politicians.
To listeners who are finding it absolutely disturbing and heart-wrenching, as you described the film, if they want to help UNICEF, how can they do so?
Well, people have helped UNICEF.
Is there a call line, line?
We ask people to go to unicef.ie, simple as that. You can make a very quick donation, and people have been doing it in their thousands, and we greatly appreciate it. It's helping the aid effort.
All right, there you have it. Peter Power, Executive Director of UNICEF Ireland, pleading for a humanitarian response purely to the issue of famine, which is now killing more people than the war, particularly amongst children, and to appeal to let the food in. Let's hope it's heeded. Thank you indeed for joining us, Peter. It's good to catch up with you again. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.